is time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to the weekly news magazine, Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Outloud here. What do you think of this? Is the COVID pandemic, the election chaos, and the January 6th Capitol event somehow, are all these connected? Now, that may at first on the surface seem like a stretch. We don't really need to play in theories. We just need to deal with what really are the facts. But the challenge is when you look at these stories, there's a lot we do know. Much of this is not being reported in obviously the mainstream media or any media for that matter, right? I mean, you agree with that. And yet, sometimes when you hear these things, they're shockers, and it can really rattle the cage. So I want to talk about that in a big way here today with you. Dr. Carol Swain will be joining us, and she'll have some big thoughts on all these topics, as well as critical race theory. And again, you see the Senate voted on the January 6th Capitol event to committee to investigation. Of course, the pandemic is another big piece of this. I'd like to bring on now and start the conversation off here with Mary Fanning, will join us. It's a pleasure to have her here. She's an investigative journalist at the American Report. She's currently producing three movies with Mike Lindell. You know, as an investigative journalist and a researcher, I find that Mary is steeped in knowledge and intrigue, and as concerned as many of us are in the state of our nation here. Mary, thank you for joining me today.
Malcolm, it's an honor to be with you. Thank you for having me.
So I asked that question up front there. Now, I didn't tell you I was going to ask that question, and quite frankly, I haven't heard that question from anybody, but I have pondered that thought, the truth be told. The CCP virus, the pandemic, the election chaos and all that happened and the fallout from that, and then all of the January 6th Capitol event, riot, whatever, that you and I will talk about today and follow it up again. Is it a stretch for me to say that to you, that or I ask the American people to even consider, could all of these events somewhat, sort of in an odd way, be connected, Mary?
Well, it begins to look as though they, in fact, may be connected. And one of the reasons that we began thinking they were connected is because we had an FBI asset who worked for our FBI, who turned whistleblower, come forward to us. And what we learned from this FBI asset was most disturbing. And what was so concerning is that while this asset had infiltrated for the FBI, some of these left-wing terrorist organizations, things began to take a turn. And the story and evidence that the FBI asset turned whistleblower presented led us in a direction that made us question all that is being put in front of us as the American people, just as Americans, that we were not being given the truth.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people would feel that there's truth to your truth of what you just said there. So when you say the FBI asset turned whistleblower, may I ask or not, do we know who this person is or is it confidential?
We are protecting that okay. person's identity, but others okay. know exactly who that person is and are protecting their identity and identities because of some of the things that are happening in this country.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Now, let me stay with the January 6th point, Mary, first here. And that is that the Senate Republicans blocked the House passed bill. That happened here just coming into the weekend. And it was, it failed 54-35, well short of the 60 votes it would have needed. Now, there were a block of Republicans, and these are names that, you know, typically put up a blockade. Bill Cassidy, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Rob Portman, Mitt Romney, Ben Sasse. I mean, that is the who's who for the anti-Trump Trump club right there, obviously. But when you see all those names, they were very supportive of it and wanted it. This bill became very partisan and very political and polarized. Here's the thing. Why are they so fascinated with wanting the Democrats, with wanting this investigation? Is some people think it's just another distraction, like, okay, another Russia event. Is that what it is? But then again, would this ever been able to convince the media that really Trump had nothing to do with what you suggest he had to do with it? I mean, calling for peaceful and patriotic, which I've reported on many times, just not constitute. And then Mary, we'll talk about that in a moment. This buildup coming into the sixth, there's a lot of evidence, which we will talk about in a moment, that shows otherwise. But stay with me first with this bill. Was this the right thing to do, or should this bill have been failed? And could it have done any good to bring this committee together to showcase this and the American people, or just another witch hunt?
Keep in mind, those supposed Republicans, those rhinos, were all anti-Trump. So, and consider some of the narratives that are being set by the left, mm-hmm. and the rhinos are, in fact, not about truth. They're about a false narrative.
The fact that they've teamed up with the left is kind of, I guess, what you're thinking or saying is evidence enough that this committee, this investigation would have gone nowhere.
Absolutely. It's on some level, it's kabuki. They want the false narrative out there, and they want to keep selling it with the mockingbird media as they continue to crow anything but the truth. And really, Malcolm, I mean, the American people have wised up these last few years, particularly as they've watched the idea that a John Brennan, mm-hmm. and James Clapper, who are key to everything that's gone wrong in this country under from the left, mm-hmm. and against President Trump, are sitting there in catbird seats at CNN and MSNBC. When did we ever have people like that sitting there telling the American truth what they're supposed to believe?
Mary, do you think the American people really have wised up? I really question that. I mean, I hear you say it, but the fact that, you know, well, of course, we really don't know with the election what happened. Although, well, that brings up a whole nother point, doesn't it now, Mary, huh? Yeah.
Yes, it brings up a whole nother point. We've proven otherwise.
I guess. I say it no more came out of my mouth and I forgot who I was talking about, Mary Fannin. Go ahead. I forgot who I was talking to. You'll forgive me, won't you?
Of course I'll forgive you. But yes, we brought forward each one of our videos, our movies are a couple of hours long. And they are, we've brought subject matter experts and only those with proof to show that the election was stolen and not just stolen by domestic traitors, as some of our colonels have said, but in fact by foreign adversaries.
Right, which would connect all the dots I started with here moments ago. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. When it comes to middle America, you know, I often talk and rally middle America, our independents, our moderates, our just left of center, not the Marxist left, obviously. We're never going to get those people, nor do we want them, quite frankly. We need to give those people a one-way ticket out of America. But talking about middle America here, how do we get their attention back again? And if it back lead it, and I ask you this question as a caveat to the whole thing, but the 2022 election is going to be pivotal right now. Everything is true of what you just said with the election, and we haven't fixed that problem. How concerned should we all be, and what's the measurement of success at this point?
Well, the measurement of success are real and fair elections, and it's been proven at this point, and the left has worked mightily to hide what took place on these stolen elections. So right now we have people who have come forward showing ballots stolen, moved, in fact, devices, Wi-Fi hotspots that were brought in order to have access to connect to the machines. This has happened over just if you're only looking at the swing states that are under investigation right now, that has been proven. And it's interesting because we're seeing people who have worked with James Clapper and coming forward and saying, oh, you can't look into these. And of course you cannot have the administrator keys to the system. You know, you're not allowed to do forensic accounting of what's taken place in these elections. Yeah. This is so beyond the pale. The election companies who give machines that they said weren't connected to the internet, in fact, show that they were connected to the internet. And these are the very officials at the top of CISA and other organizations working arm in arm with James Clapper are now saying, no, you don't have the right to look. Well, there are no regulations. There are no laws. That's just simply not true.
The other big thing I'm talking about, all of a sudden, I'm really blown away that the powers to be, including Fauci himself, who we affectionately refer to as Fraud Fauci, but the point is, how is it that all of a sudden the Wuhan virus, the CCP virus, I guess you could call it, all of a sudden that's of interest to these people? And in fact, remarkably so, the Biden administration and Biden himself have come out and he has asked U.S. intelligence agencies to redouble their efforts, is his words, to determine the origin of this virus. Now, I mean, do they really want to redouble the efforts? Is that a media talking point? Because we were talking about this a year and a half ago. We knew this didn't come out of a bat's ass in a suit somewhere. We knew this was a biological weapon put onto the American people. And I'm not making, we talked about this on here. The evidence was very clear. And now all of a sudden, this is interest. Help me understand why this is of such interest right now to not only the mainstream media, who are for the first time talking about it. Even the Marxists over at Facebook have just agreed not to ban you or slap you upside of the head and keep your post up there if you talk about that now, which is remarkable. What's going on?
Well, a couple of things. You know, they didn't want to talk about this and now they do. So anytime you see something like that happen, you have to wonder what they're trying to direct your attention to.
Exactly.
Always keep that in mind. Exactly. That's sort of the look over here at this birdie while we steal your purse. And so what we know is a couple of things. Fauci, in fact, Colonel Lawrence, Dr. Sellin came forward and he told about Anthony Fauci didn't give just $3.7 million to the Wuhan lab. He gave billions and he brought people from the CCP in to work under him in our bio labs. Now, consider something that's so important. Why, when Wuhan, their bio lab 3 had a leak that killed 800 people, would we then fund by their BS4, their bio lab 4, you know, a much more lethal laboratory, so that it could now kill 3 million people across the globe? So this was funded under the Obama administration. And Anthony Fauci and others working with him, why would they have funded Wuhan when their first leak killed 800 and now 3 million? Why would they have gone to a biolab 4, a BS4 level, when they'd already had that first incident that killed 800 people?
So why did they?
Well, isn't that a good question? Why did they? Maybe they should have congressional hearings about something of import like that.
I mean, I can't disagree with that at all, Mary. But so back to the big question we pose of the pandemic itself. Now, and I haven't talked to you about this off air or on air, but I'm very curious. There's a lot of suspicion right now with this major need of the media, of the, well, a lot of oligarchs and the political figures pushing the vaccine and pushing other things. And I know I'm going down a boulevard here or an avenue that can be a little slippery, but I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of respectable people and I'm not going to hide it anymore, although I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus either. But a lot of MDs and a lot of big names around this country, and they are not comfortable with anything that's going on in regards to this pandemic, including the vaccine business. We have enough reports and enough conversations out on our network to back up what I just said. Doesn't matter what my opinion is on the topic. But when you take a look at all that and you see the COVID pandemic and the uncomfortableness of people that are speaking out, what is your make of that, of this big push? First of all, the holding back of early treatment medications and the push of vaccines running up the death numbers. How does that fit into all this, Mary?
Well, it certainly is a distraction when you're starting to look at people who have acted illegally in this country and perhaps have much to answer for. Let's start there. Then we have this COVID vaccination, or excuse me, first the COVID vaccine, the bioweapon, and those who know are calling it a bioweapon. It could not have the components that it does without being a bioweapon. So it also, however, is a virus that attaches itself and is most deadly to people with comorbidities. Mm-hmm. And so why under, you know, think about something, why would they not tell the truth for how long about HCQ and some of the drugs and even just vitamin D? And think about that this thing is let on our country, and then you make everyone go inside where they can get no vitamin D, probably one of the most important things to combat a virus in our immune system. And so then they say HCQ doesn't work. It disappears off the shelves in Europe. When this has been on the readily available for 60 years. In fact, did you know that our veterans, our vets who were fighting in Vietnam were all on HCQ? So they knew that this, and there's documentation showing that Dr. Fauci knew about HCQ. Umpteen doctors have come forward and said that these remedies work. You know, you don't need to leave people until they get to the point that they need to be on ventilators, which of course were hidden initially. So something is underway and it stinks. And when, you know, we've watched Dr. Peter McCullough, we've watched the frontline doctors, they've come forward. And now, in fact, the frontline doctors are coalescing with attorneys, because while the drug companies and the government has been indemnified, so regardless what happens to anyone who takes this vaccination, they will never pay a price. But while they've been indemnified, now they're trying to push it on our military and on all of our students. So the idea that in order to attend university, you have to take this shot when that age bracket has a 99.994% rate of not having any terrible implications from catching this, why would you insist upon doing something with, keep in mind, this is an experimental vaccination. In fact, some of those who they experimented on, all the animals died. And so the idea of giving our brain trust of young students that, you know, insisting that that they must have this in order to attend university. And you see the amount of people who have been damaged just from the vaccination.
All the points you just bring up, Mary, about the meds and the reaction to all of these treatments, you can't deny anything you just said. I mean, I would push back on some part of what you just said if I could and call you out, but I can't, because everything you just said is very accurate. Now, I know this. And let me tell you also, Mary, let me be clear with you to tell you, I myself have taken HCQ and I've taken ivermectin and all these things they poo-pooed. And it's been highly, highly effective against this biological weapon, because I know I've been there and I haven't shared that on air yet, but it is a fact, okay? And so I know exactly what you're talking about. And yet you do have to question as to why, and like you say, vitamin D and all the various pieces of this thing. And that's exactly what they've gone against it. It leaves you, or should leave everybody, so suspicious as to what's really taking place here, I guess, Mary, when you think about that. You and I are having right now at this moment an incredibly spontaneous conversation. We just connected on all this. None of this was rehearsed. I mean, you didn't even know I was going to talk about that first question, right?
No, I did not.
When I said, is the COVID pandemic and the election chaos and the January 6th Capitol event all connected? I wasn't trying to be a smart guy when I asked that, but I just felt like there's something weird going on. And no matter who I talk to, Mary, on any given day, and I'm talking people of great intelligence, Mary, people of great influence, and people that know and don't play in any theories, and about every one of these folks, they are more than concerned. They just have a sense things are not right in this republic.
Yeah, it's very important to understand a book that was put out in the late 90s by the two Chinese colonels. And the book is called Unrestricted Warfare, Unrestricted Warfare. And they told that, as Sun Tzu says, silent and deadly and don't let your enemies know you are there. In Unrestricted Warfare, they told of taking the United States down, they would hit it with one bioweapon. And then after they'd collapse our economy, hitting us with another bioweapon. So this is in their words. We now have a Chinese professor with the CCP who has come forward and saying, we have defeated the United States with biological weapons. So they are crowing about that. And so if you're suspicious of it, well, let's just take their word for it. Let's take their word for it when they're crowing about doing exactly that. And we have so many experts who have come forward to speak to this biological weapon. I really encourage your audience. They must look up Dr. Peter McCullough and his interview with Tucker Carlson. And they should view that to get a complete vetting of what we're looking at and what took place, what should not have taken place. Why were we funding China's bioweapons labs? They're level four. Why did they have a level four at all after leaking from their level three? And this, the American people should listen to Dr. Peter McCullough laying out what's taken place with this COVID virus with Tucker.
Right. Well, they don't have to go far to do that at all, because he is part of our team here and on our network at America Out Loud, of course. The Tucker interview you're talking about, you can watch that on the America Out Loud network on Rumble. Now, we have moved from YouTube to Rumble because, Mary, YouTube is censoring way too much,
Oh, yes.
And they're ridiculous. And they were after us 4 years ago. They stopped monetizing and pulled videos off that had been up for years. They're as reckless as Facebook is. So we still have stuff on there, but we don't publish anything new on YouTube. It is now over at Rumble, and we're moving over there everything. That's exactly. And we're on, by the way, we're on Gab and Parler and CloutTub and all the new conservative American sites that are coming up that don't censor free speech, by the way, as well, just to make a point to you all out there. But Mary is very accurate with what she says about Dr. Peter McCullough. He is on the point here and knows what's going on and speaks to people around our country every day, as well as others do as well. His podcast and his talk radio show is plays on the weekend here. And you can hear that, the McCullough Report, every weekend, Saturday and Sunday at 2 p.m. You'll hear that is the McCullough Report, 2 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. And there's an encore at 7 p.m., by the way. His articles and his videos and the Tucker Carlson interview is on our network as well. So catch that all there. I've had a very bad feeling from the get-go that the Capitol January 6th riot event, which the Senate just ruled on and defeated the idea of opening it up, I've had a very bad feeling knowing who infiltrated that and all the signs that we knew before then, that seemed to me there was the way they were let in, the way you see a lot of the videos, that this thing was nothing more than a setup. And then they kept Washington, D.C. barricaded for months and months and months and months and months. Is there any doubt in your mind?
No, none whatsoever, particularly with the FBI asset coming forward and telling how the FBI was attempting to set up this false narrative that they this asset had infiltrated Antifa, Black Lives Matter. They were working with FBI agents and their superiors. What took place between them was breathtaking, frankly. Mm-hmm. And as they continued working, and as I said, infiltrating, you know, fire bombings of buildings, all sorts of information that was brought to the FBI, monies being moved from the Middle East to these left-wing Marxist terrorists as they burned cities in this country. When the FBI was doing nothing about it, sitting back and, let's say, watching the show as America burned. And so while these FBI special agents were working with the asset, they were also trying to get the asset, bringing their superiors forward and saying, well, aren't you seeing some oath keepers and white nationalists? No, we're not seeing that. Here's all the information that we have. Well, can't you find us some white supremacists? And they kept insisting that that was, you know, what these FBI assets should be looking for, but they kept coming back and saying we could have none. It became more and more pressure to the point that they were almost suggesting that they, how they wanted the reports written. And so this all was taking place in the lead up to the January 6th Capitol Hill incident. When you look at that, when they were trying to get a particular narrative in place about white supremacists, it's worth noting. And then when they couldn't get this and it became so ridiculous, well, the FBI asset understood at that point that they were setting a narrative. They were setting a narrative in advance of the January 6th supposed attack on the Capitol. And now we know that the magnetic locks were let go and things like that.
Yeah.
So it seems that the FBI knew, it appears perhaps, that they knew about all this. But I want your listeners to keep something in mind.
Okay.
In 1948, there was something called the Smith-Mundt Act, and it was illegal to use propaganda against the American people. That meant that they couldn't come out and start telling you all sorts of fibs and trying to brainwash the American people. Under the Obama administration, they had the modernization of the Smith-Mundt Act so that they could use propaganda on the American people. And I suggest that's exactly what we have been watching.
Yeah, amen. That is Mary Fannin. And I have to tell you, she's well spoken on all of this. You know, I've just got to know Mary, and she's sincere. You hear her speak right there. It is my privilege and pleasure to have her here, and I have make no bones about that. I'm going to, in fact, expand this conversation, and Mary, along with some very other interesting people, we're going to have on the Voice of a Nation here. And so we'll fill you in more on that, but we're not done with this story by a long shot, my fellow Americans. We're not even close to it. We're going to continue to peel the onion, and we're going to continue to be there and get this information out to the people. That's what we have to do. That's our job. It's our role. Liberty and justice for all, right? That's what it's got to be. So a big thank you to Mary Fannin here. Up next now, Dr. Carol Swain will join us, get her perspective on much of the Senate here and, of course, what happened there, the Wuhan story, but also critical race theory. Dr. Swain is not only one of the most outspoken people about this as a Black conservative herself in the country, but she was one of the first to bring this up back before we were even talking about it or knew what it was at the water cooler. Dr. Swain was on the case as an educator, and she knew what was happening in our education system. She'll join us in just moments here, and we'll talk about all of that. Stay right there, my fellow Americans. More viewpoints in just a moment.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
AmericaOutLoud.com. Simply put, we're patriots who believe in Ronald Reagan's vision of a shining city on a hill. From sea to shining sea, you can listen in on iHeartRadio. Our free apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa, or our world-class media player. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all. Welcome back to Viewpoint this Sunday. Well, the mysteries of Washington, D.C., and we see the Senate now has blocked the House passed bill that on the January 6th Capitol riots. And I also found this very interesting, as I've been telling you about the all of a sudden the quick, sudden interest in Washington's on the Wuhan lab and Fauci, quite a story. And critical race theory, of course, is we're seeing a lot of governors push back. So those are the stories I'd like to talk about right now with Dr. Carol Swain, who joins me here. Dr. Swain's an award-winning political scientist. She's an author or editor of 9 books. Host of Conversations with Dr. Carol Swain TV show, and also the Be the People podcast show here. So let's start now. So the vote, Dr. Swain, 54-35, they needed 60 to push it across there. The Republican senators, the typical names that we're familiar with, Bill Cassidy, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Rob Portman, Mitt Romney, Ben Sasse. It's always that block of people. It's like, they supported advancing the bill. Now, their argument was that, okay, it doesn't do any harm or foul to go and look at this to see. So it never happens again is what they basically said. A lot of their quotes as I was reading. What do you think? Was this the right decision for the Republicans? And based on their measurement, was there harm in looking at this further? Or what's the motive that the Democrats are doing here?
First of all, I believe the Republicans made the right decision. So I applaud Mitch McConnell for his leadership. And I think what the Democrats were trying to do was to have another Russia-like distraction that would end up costing the American people millions of dollars. They would have this sideshow that would take us away from focusing on the condition of our country and the fact that Joe Biden and his policies have been detrimental to the American public, including their own supporters. I think that what the Democrats wanted was something else that would be would grab the headlines of the media so that we can't focus on the suffering of the American people.
What if there were things that could have been proven? You know how the Democrats are consistently trying to point at Trump being the instigator for that. Now, could this, I mean, playing devil's advocate a moment, could this have showcased some of that in a way that proved the innocence of that? Would that have been an outcome that might have been possible or not really?
I think that information has already come out, that we already know that people started scaling the Capitol before President Trump finished his speech. We know that intelligence agencies were aware that troublemakers from the left and right were headed to Washington. Nancy Pelosi and the DC government had plenty of time to put in measures that would have avoided the riot. And so maybe that would have gotten more press attention, but at what cost? So I think that we already know that it was not an insurrection. At best, it was a riot. And that the only person that actually died as a result is Ashley Babbitt, and her killer was never identified.
All right, let's talk about this, the Wuhan thing. This story is remarkable to me. We reported on the network here and the platform and many of our shows, oh, golly, about a year something ago here, back in March. It was actually March. It was well over a year ago in 2020 that this thing was indeed a biological weapon. It was not a bat and soup theory. We had evidence of it. We had a lot of information that came into me. I did some blockbuster shows on this topic. And, you know, we knew what it was and that this wasn't some accident in a market there, a seafood market. Now, all of a sudden, there's interest. And even Fauci has come out and said, well, he said, maybe we need to look at that. What do you think all of a sudden? It's very perplexing to a lot of people what the sudden interest is of, number one, Washington. But even for Fauci now to say that, that was like a real eye opener this past week with folks. What's the motive behind all this?
Well, I mean, with Fauci, I think that he's in deep trouble because so much has come to light about his leadership of his own agency, as well as his mistakes. And I don't know what's behind it, but I can tell you it's not accidental, because whatever the Democrats do, they coordinate it with the media, just like with the Cuomo investigations involving the sexual harassment. They have a political end in mind. I'm not sure what it is, but for most of us, we knew that there was more to it than what we were being told. So I'm not surprised one bit that the true consensus is moving towards it was not something, you know, that just happened by a person being bitten by a bat or they had the bat soup, as you say, that there was biological aspects of the behind this enhanced virus that people are still suffering from.
That's right. Yeah. Well, Biden, the president, is saying that he's asking U.S. intelligence agencies, his words, to say redouble their efforts. Now, what I've been wondering is, what purpose does this serve when, if it is what it is, I'm really wondering, is this a smoke and mirrors sort of investigation or claim? Why would, I'm really questioning why Biden would want to get them to ask them to redouble their efforts. Is that just a talking point, do you think, or does he really care?
I don't know, because we know that we can't trust the World Health Organization. And I believe I read that he wants them to be part of the investigation. as I recall, they were part of the problem. So they may be setting up an investigation so that they can, in the end, reach whatever conclusion they want that protects China rather than holds the nation accountable.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, when they find this information out, what do they do with it? I'm wondering, like, what are we going to do? Sanctions again against China? Is that going to be the answer? I mean, because there's not much we can do with China, and there's a lot of parts of our relationship that appear to be crumbling with China. But then again, Biden and his family, they have a weird, unique kind of relationship with China. And so it's hard to say what would become of this once we do find out.
I would say that the only reason they are pushing the investigation is pretty much they either know or they don't know. Mm-hmm. So they already have an end in purpose. And as I said earlier, if they're involving the World Health Organization in the investigation, we know that they're not reliable. And so whatever conclusion serves the interests, you know, of the power brokers in both nations, that's what we're going to end up with.
Yeah, there. I totally think you're onto something when you say whatever their end purpose is. That's actually what I'm questioning, that end purpose, which we really don't know. But I'm also wondering what that is for when they get this information and what they plan to do with it. But I was going to say one other thing. You know, I get a lot of there's a great deal of the medical community, and I had this conversation just yesterday. There's a lot of MDs, a lot of doctors out there who absolutely firmly believe this is indeed or was a biological weapon. And they do believe that there's a lot more to this story. And I'm talking about really respectable people, and which I'm not going to name here, but that have specifically told me this. They are absolutely convinced, Dr. Swain, it is a biological weapon and it was released with intention to do harm. Do you have a sense of that yourself?
I mean, I believe that it was. And I think that President Trump, I am or was a Trump supporter. He has been totally correct on just about everything that he has told us. And so it really amazes me when the left says he's such a liar. Every time he opens his mouth, he lies, when everything he's said has been true, especially on all these big issues such as China.
The point of the whole Wuhan thing is, if we ever know the truth, what is the truth? And when we do know it, what I'm wondering is, what are we going to do about it? I don't think there's very much we can do about it.
But I mean, it looks like we may have, it looks like
our we funded
governmental it. Agencies, yeah, that we were involved in the creation of it. And so that makes it much more complicated that we would collaborate with a foreign enemy to create, an enhanced virus that could be used against our own people. And I think that it's very troubling. And I've written about this before, the fact that Fauci, Gates, and the John Hopkins University researchers were involved in all this pandemic planning. Just the summer before the outbreak.
Yeah. Taking what you say right there, Dr. Swain, I'm going to tell you something else. You take what you just said and you combine it with some of the conversations I've had in past days with some of the best doctors in the country here who are so concerned with the way they're pushing vaccines right now. I mean, deeply, deeply troubled and concerned, spiritually concerned. And I've had some pretty wild conversations that I can't even make public on this topic right here. And they're beginning to realize that there's more to this story. And these are people who don't play in theories. These are very respectable people looking at facts and data. You have any concern with that as well, that there's a lot more that meets the eye with this thing? And we haven't even scratched the surface yet of truth.
Well, I mean, I'm always concerned about what's taking place behind the scenes and whether or not the people that we trust in our intelligence agencies, whether or not they have our true interests, our national interests. And it seems to me that foreign entities have enormous influence over the American people and their institutions. I find that very troubling. Even when you look at Black Lives Matter and Antifa, those groups are often financed by foreign dollars, by people who have a vested interest in anti-Americanism. And they seem to be quite successful in getting Americans to turn against their country and to destroy it from within.
There are a lot of people right now, they're unsettled, like very seriously unsettled, unglued. And I'm talking, it's beyond just a pandemic, although that's a piece of it. But there are a lot of other factors involved. And there are a lot of people who think that we are in a hostile takeover mode. Something's happening in our country. And I got to tell you, in people, even in the sincerest mode, and I talk about this all the time on our programming, there's a Marxist takeover in our nation that appears to be happening. And it's not really hidden, Dr. Swain. It's out in the light of day. I'm talking about the oddity of all these things happening in the past couple of years. Things you would have never predicted 5 years ago, right? That we could have never predicted. I mean, you have a sense of that yourself as well?
I can tell you that essential to what is happening today was the 2020 election. Exactly. Because had President Trump remained in office, he would have been able to clean out some of those agencies that we associate with the deep state. And I feel that the irregularities connected with that election is part of, the undermining of American government, its structures. Our courts failed us. People did not have voice. There was nowhere to report election irregularities where it would actually be investigated. So I think that America, as we have known it historically, in many ways, it no longer exists. And if it did exist, we would not be having, this big problem with critical race theory that runs counter to our civil rights laws, our Constitution, and just how we treat people as Americans.
Amen to that. Let's segue now to critical race theory, which you just said right there. Last year, about a year ago, you wrote a piece we published on America Out Loud on critical race theory, and I'm seeing it's being circulated a lot right now again. It's called Critical Race Theory is Rooted in Cultural Marxism. In fact, that piece we will make available at the top of AmericaOutloud.com this weekend. As you're listening to this broadcast, it will be available right at the top. You'll see that piece from Dr. Carol Swain in the left side on the sidebar there. So go look and give that a read. But here's the point. I want to read this opening paragraph that you say here, which I think is really nails the conversation. And we've been talking a lot in recent weeks and months with really some fabulous people, fantastic people about critical race theory, educators of all kind, and people that are very astute in the subject here. And this is what you said in the article. The message is clear. If you are unfortunate enough to be born with black skin, you are forever a second-class citizen who pays a race penalty. Under this reasoning, the most affluent blacks rank below the poorest whites when it comes to privilege and opportunities. More than 50 years of affirmative action programs in race consciousness has done nothing to change the trajectory or opportunities of people born without white skin. According to critical theory, every dysfunctional condition in black urban communities can be traced to slavery and its aftermath. There is no place for individual choice initiative. Tell us what the point of that was.
I mean, I've been talking about critical race theory for the last 4 years, and it has certainly exploded. Now everyone is talking about it. Many of the people who are don't know exactly what it is, but I was concerned when I wrote that article about critical race theory because I saw it affecting our churches, private Christian academies, and our society at large. And I was also concerned with the fact that it seemed and does run counter to our civil rights laws because it singles out one race of people because of the color of their skin and it demonizes them. And it's okay, or it seems to be acceptable in certain places to shame people and bully them because of their skin color and what their ancestors may or may not have done. And I found that to be very troubling. And that was part of the reason that I have written several articles about critical race theory and how dangerous it is. The message that it sends racial and ethnic minorities is one that I would say is dehumanizing. It removes all agency from black people when it comes to being able to control their own lives and their own fate. And it is a white supremacy argument because it says that white people, you know, that they have a vested property interest in their whiteness and that they control all the institutions and power. Everything's been structured for their benefit. And they're the only group that can liberate racial and ethnic minorities. At the same time, it's calling on white people to be anti-racist and to liberate minorities. It also argues that racism is permanent. It will be with us forever. And so it disincentivizes minorities from even working hard to try to change that condition because they're told that the racism is permanent. And so it is a very discouraging, depressing message that generates racial hostility rather than bringing people together.
When I look, Dr. Swain, at programs like critical race theory, or I look at the woke culture in the country, or we look at the cancel culture and what's taking place there, and you look at these, I call them social cultural phenomenons, okay? And to me, there's an underwriting message to all these programs and back to an end agenda that they're trying to create or accomplish. Again, this is stepping back at 50,000 feet, which is what I like to do with these kinds of problems. And you're right. When you just said a moment ago, you're 100% right. You and I were talking about this several years ago. And in fact, you were one of the first ones in the country talking about this. And that's not just a statement. It's accurate. When you started talking about it, I didn't even know what you were really talking about when you were bringing it up initially here in the early times when we discussed it, meaning before it was even, you know, at the water cooler, you sort of knew this was a problem as an educator. And I know because we were there. Having said that, Here's the thing. You also said a moment ago, a lot of Americans don't even really understand what this is and what the danger is. So let me do this here. I want to just take a minute here. If you and I met in an elevator, we met in an elevator, and I seen you, and we're going up five floors, and you were going to describe to me summary version of what CRT was, because I didn't know. What would you say?
Well, first thing I would tell you is that American society is being confronted with its greatest civil rights challenge of our day. Like we had the civil rights movement of the 1960s. Well, this is a civil rights issue. And I would say that it divides the world into the oppressed and the oppressors, with white people being demonized as oppressors, regardless of who they are as individuals or where they come from or, you know, how they may have lived their lives. Because of the color of their skin, they all put in one bucket and classified as bad people.
Now, on its face, what you're saying right there, on its face, right there with what you just said, makes the program a racist program.
But that is the reality, and all minorities are considered victims. Usually the narrative that we see in the U.S. that serves the political purposes of the Democrats is to divide it between whites and blacks. And with black people, the Democrats are using, you know, the history of the nation, the civil rights struggle, even the Voting Rights Act to advance their agenda, because the goals of the Voting Rights Act of 1965 have been accomplished, and black people have no barriers to voting at all, but they would like to tip the scale so that Democrats get an advantage, mm-hmm. because more blacks are Democrats. And so they're actually using the civil rights gains and movement to advance a political agenda.
Yeah.
And this thing about cultural Marxism, if you Google that, you will get articles that say that it's no such thing as cultural Marxism, that it's anti-Semitism. And that is something that the Southern Poverty Law Center is behind, because 10 years ago, if you Googled cultural Marxism, you actually got the history of it and how it related to Marxism. Mm-hmm. And you learned about the theorists that were behind it. Now you have to dig really hard to get the background information.
We're seeing governors push back. Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida, Governor Greg Abbott in Texas. They're pushing back, and they're passing laws in their states. The federal government is pushing this out on all the states, and they're threatening the states that they're going to cut money. Of course, a lot of states would think that's a good thing, because then they would just cut the Department of Education out of there. And of course, many people, myself included, would argue the fact that it's time to blow up the Department of Education. And I'm not talking about violence here. I'm talking about figuratively. And you know, what do you think about that? The pushback of governors and the DOE and the holding back of funds from DC and their threats to make CRT the law of the land?
Well, first, I think that the pushback is really mandated by our civil rights laws that bars discrimination on account of race, ethnicity, and national origins. And many of the CRT programs and how they are being implemented run counter to the civil rights laws, and I would say the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. So I believe the governors are on solid ground by taking the stances that they have taken. And if you actually read the legislation that was passed in Tennessee, Texas, and Louisiana, and I haven't read other states, but I believe this legislation doesn't mention critical race theory. It describes actions that are prohibited, that are discriminatory. And I think that they're on solid ground, because the actions that are being described should not be taking place in America. As far as the critical race theorists, the proponents of that ideology, what they do is they trot out, some minority activists or minority parents to argue that that it's needed because of ongoing racism. But in actuality, how it's being implemented in the school system it's denying the children, especially the Black children, an opportunity to have a quality education because it's lowering the standards to the point that they're not learning basic skills. The school systems, the urban school systems, were failing already. And when you introduce, you know, curriculum like equitable math that argues that math is racist, is white supremacy, that there are no right and wrong answers, that can only lower math proficiency scores. And when you argue that standard English should not be required of minority students, that they should be allowed to speak Ebonics or whatever they want to speak, that too is diminishing opportunities for minority students. And it affects the whole classroom and everyone's education when you remove classes for the gifted students.
There's been a lot of damage already done from these programs and what have you over many years. And now it's coming sort of to a moment where we're now debating and talking about it in this country. Where do you see this ending? Because you've got a lot of states that are still putting it in there. It's all over the place. Federal government wants it. They're pushing it. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And yet, so is this just another policy debate we're going to have in the country? Or do you see this? Where does it end?
Well, it may end at the Supreme Court. And if it doesn't end at the end at the Supreme Court, I think that Democrats and Republicans have equal concerns. I'm talking about regular people, not the ones that are in Washington. I believe that the American people will reject an ideology and worldview that is so racist, anti-Christian, anti-family, just about anti-everything that has been a part of our Judeo-Christian values and system. I believe that the vast majority of Americans are not in tune with what is being done. They're not supporting it. And I believe that the Republicans have an advantage because this agenda is so aggressive that they can build coalitions that will be bipartisan in the sense that they will get crossover votes from Democrats around these issues because they're so blatantly wrong.
Well, tremendous thank you to Dr. Carol Swain and Mary Fannin, you heard up front in the program here. You know, it was a program that you learned a few things, but also, well, we leave it with some questions that still need to be answered. But isn't that always the case, really, when you go at it like this here and have these kinds of conversations and talks? But again, I want you to think about what I presented to you up front of the program, the oddities that we're faced with right now and all of the things that happen in our lives. How much of this is coincidence? I've just asked you the question. Listen, I don't have all the answers, okay? Let me be clear. But I do have a hell of a lot of questions, okay? And ask yourself, you take the pandemic, the election chaos, the January 6th, all of the strange things going in our life and that have happened. And then you have to begin to ask yourself, how much of this really is coincidence? How much of this could be sort of connected in some sort of way? And then you go further with the question and ask yourself, wow, what happens next? That is a good question, isn't it? The best way to plan for the future and predict the future is to look at history. It's to understand what's just taken place. And I think you all have to be concerned at that point and at least have your radar up and figure this out. And that's what we need to do with the American people and present that evidence going forward. So thank you again, my fellow Americans, for being with me on the mission here. It's time to get involved and get loud.